And we are away to the best 5 minutes of the day. And it is the initial title nowadays is First Thoughts. But we got Jason Cans on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Mark,
how are you today?
Good. You know, I was telling Caleb yesterday, I'm like, you know, which I guess you call me Mark most of the time. You don't call me Halvo that much, do you?
Not often. Sometimes I do. But like if I email you, I might call you Halvo.
Yeah.
Or if I'm referring to you to other people, I will say Halvo.
Because, okay.
You know, I know more than one Mark, but I could call you Mr. Halverson if you'd prefer.
No, it's just, I told Caleb yesterday off air, I'm like, I like it that he calls me, and I'm glad, because like when Selvig and I did M&M's in the Morning, 02 to 09, yeah. I mean, he was very frequent with Halvo, and so that's kind of, and I was thinking that goes way back to like the 90s with Pete Dake. It was Halvo and Dake on Daybreak, so, you know, it's kind of fun being known by like an abbreviated part of your last name.
I can't really abbreviate my last name.
You can't. I know. You know what I struggle with your last name? I just the desire to just kind of, hey, let's go play kick the can at the Kansas. You know, something like that. It always kind of calls that to mind, you know.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing up childhood wounds, Mark. Just kidding. No, but I have a good last name for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I was not surprised when my daughter went from Grace Cans to Grace Risen. You know, when she got married, I thought Grace Risen. That's perfect.
That is such a cool last name. And hope they're doing well in the early part of their marriage.
Seemed to be.
Great. All right. Well, I hope we're doing well. Trucking through Luke. Caleb's doing that. He and his family are, how about that? I mean, reading with his kids through each a chapter a day of Luke. So that's pretty good. So we're up to
Luke 10
on this 10th day of December. And there's a lot of stuff in here. This certainly most famous is the way it near the end, 25 to 37 with the Good Samaritan. But what stood out to you?
So for me, again, you said there's a lot of good stuff here. I actually picked something that is probably exceptionally surprising. I went with verse 19, which says, "Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them."
Huh.
And, you know, of all the good verses, why pick that one? And I think what stood out to me today was, you know, Jesus often spoke about spiritual realities so often. I think, as I encountered that verse, I was thinking he meant actual snakes and scorpions, and maybe he did. But I think what he was saying is that those of us who have the Spirit can move amongst things that are divisive and painful and deadly. You know, in this world that is so often divisive and seemingly deadly. And I think that was just a good reminder that, you know, I'm going to keep you safe in difficult circumstances.
Hmm.
So
That's good. That's good. And that's encouraging. Certainly the Good Samaritan, I mean, the story always fascinates me. And I think a question, I'd heard one preacher in the last year interpret it different than I'd heard before, which is the idea of, like when you hear the Good Samaritan, it's just like, all right, right? I'm supposed to be like the Samaritan and just, and it's really kind of mind boggling. Like, wow. I mean, he not only took care, but I mean, taking him to the inn and leaving the money and coming back. I mean, and then trying to translate that to your own life.
Yeah.
But the message I heard briefly was just the idea that, yeah, that's impossible. Nobody can do that. And that Jesus was basically saying, the only one who'd do that is kind of translating it to the gospel, that ultimately Jesus is the one who fully does that. Not meaning that we shouldn't love our neighbor, but that if you fully understood all that was unpacked in there. So, I don't know. That's just a different take. So, I don't know what you thought about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a good point, is so many of these stories we've encountered, there is a lot to unpack. You know, it seemingly will take a lifetime to even begin to scratch the surface of what Jesus said and taught.
I'm going to sneak in just another one then, as long as I just kind of offer that. It's just I kind of was thinking before I read the chapter, Luke 10, I'm like, oh, it kind of ends with the Good Samaritan. No, there's the Jesus visits Martha and Mary, and everybody's heard one or more sermons on that, right?
Yeah.
And it's just five verses, but the idea of Martha's so busy and fretting and tell Mary to get in here and help me in the kitchen, basically. And it's, Jesus, my dear Martha, you're so upset over all these details. There's really only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered, and I won't take it from her. And again, it kind of calls to mind for me a song from Rich Mullins and Twyla Paris, each differently. Rich Mullins, My One Thing. Twyla Paris, All About You. I mean, just the idea that, as Oswald Chambers says in his favorite devotion of mine, July 13th, his wife's birthday, and she transcribed it, God first, God second, God third.
Mm. Indeed. Yeah. Again, there's so much there. I'm hopeful people will read Luke 10 today and discover the many treasures that are there.
Yeah. And that was one of my things. We had tacos and prayer on Tuesday night, and we pray through the ACTS, you know, acronym, yep. Adore, Confess. But we also do lament in there as well after adore. But, I mean, my confession is, I think here, even during the pandemic, you know, people ponder God's move in their life. And I think that whole C.S. Lewis, first things, second things, and I believe for God himself, he's saying, I am the first thing, right? Like, I am the first and second and third thing. And I think, for me at least, Jason, I'd be interested in your closing comment on this. I mean, for me, if I'm honest, I think too often I want second things to be first things. And I don't believe, I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't want you to be first, second, and third. And I think that's, you know, that's my,
yes.
I'm blowing it on that. So,
yeah, I would utterly agree with that. I think that, and that's one of the things I think we need to be honest about is I really like comfort. I really like things.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sometimes it's really hard to believe, you know, that, you know, as John Piper would say, that, you know, that desiring God really is our greatest good. You know, and our friend Larry Kravitz says the same thing, you know, that thirst for God is really that critical longing. And I don't really believe that a lot of times, if I'm honest with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think continuing to press into that is important.
Yeah. So may God be first, second, and third. God obsessed and others centered. There we go for
Amen.
Everybody. Thanks, Jason.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Well, we all know that this year maybe has prevented us from doing some quote-unquote normal activities on a regular basis. But there is one activity that here in the great state of Wisconsin, we've missed more than in any other state.
And what might that be?
Going to the movies. Huh. It seems no one misses sitting in the dark with a jumbo popcorn more than residents of Wisconsin. A new survey finds residents of the Badger State miss movie theaters more than any other state during the pandemic, which again has shut down or sharply reduced capacity for theaters around the world. A tech site which specializes in compiling maps about trends in entertainment combed through Twitter, tracking tweets and keyword phrases such as, I miss movie theaters and I miss going to the movies in more than 200,000 tweets using geotagged Twitter data, which is kind of scary. GoHastings.com then mapped where those phrases came up more often. Number one, Wisconsin. We love our movies.
Huh.
And hopefully we love our movie theaters, like our great Mycon Cinemas theaters right here in Eau Claire and Chippewa.
Absolutely. I'm trying to read something into that. Number two was Utah and then Oregon. So I don't know in terms of, it says in terms of activity to pursue. But yeah, and Mycon would love it if you'd go see some of the offerings they have during
well, and how about
season.
That gigantic bag of popcorn deal that they have going on right now? It's like the size of four large bags of popcorn.
Right?
And then I was talking with Connie yesterday because they're sponsoring one of the prizes for our gingerbread contest. And she said, yeah, the private theater screenings have been very popular. Wow, really reasonable. I mean, it's $25 an hour and then $10 a person. That includes pop and soda for that person, too. So, yeah, go out and support. I mean,
and it's kind of a cool thing. You get your family or friends. You're together. You got a theater for the night. You know?
How cool is that? So anyway, we really miss the movies, and I know we miss Mycon, too, and can't wait till we can get back to working with them on a regular basis when hopefully things get a little bit better in 2021.
It's interesting. Christopher Nolan, the director of, you know, certainly the Batman trilogy and others, he was pretty critical the other day of this whole deal about immediate release to the HBO Max.
Yeah, because he said you put all the time and all the effort in, and he said these were made to be viewed on the big screen, and it just doesn't cut it at home, no matter how big a TV you have.
Yeah, interesting stuff. WWIB, so please, yes, yeah, support Mycon, and encourage you to take advantage of some great offerings that they've got, the popcorn and rent your own theater.
3 years ago, on this very date, I was in the hospital. I wasn't doing anything that difficult. My wife was the one being the hero at that point.
Yeah.
3 years ago today, our youngest, our darling daughter, Nora, came into the world.
She is so cute.
It is Nora's birthday today, and she is just an absolute joy each and every day. And I'm wishing Nora a very happy birthday today. I think she should be up by now. Sometimes she's up incredibly early. This morning, I just kind of gave her a quick pat and said happy birthday because she actually was still asleep and I did not want to wake her up and thus wake up the rest of the household.
Right.
Because that's what happens when Nora gets up. Then everybody's up. So,
yeah.
Nora, honey, happy birthday. Daddy loves you. And I know this is a song for playing it at home that you really like.
Here we go. Happy birthday, Nora. That's a fun tune. Reliant K, Angels We Have Heard on High on WWIB. Well, this is interesting. COVID vaccine shipments could impact the cheese and dairy industries, and our Wisconsin ears perk up. In a press conference yesterday, actually on Tuesday, a couple days back, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz announcing that competition for dry ice may occur between companies shipping coronavirus vaccines and cheese and dairy manufacturers. And again, the cheese and dairy are important for people going, boy, but the vaccine, right? You got to keep it really cold. One person tweeted that it could be the great cheese slash vaccine wars of 2021.
Only in 2020, but now this is 2021. So.
Yeah. Dry ice, also known as frozen carbon dioxide, is commonly used in the food industry to keep ingredients at a low temp for cross-country travel. A block of dry ice has a temp of about minus 109.3 degrees Fahrenheit or minus 78 Celsius, much colder than the average freezer or a standard ice cube made of water. And supplies of dry ice now in high demand as the distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine set to begin around the country. Pfizer is expected to have the first vaccine cleared by U.S. regulators. Their vaccine is required to be shipped and stored at minus 94 degrees Fahrenheit.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And Moderna, also producing a vaccine, recently applied for emergency approval from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, beginning their distribution. They're not required to be kept in as cold of an environment as Pfizer's, but they'll still require copious amounts of dry ice. So do we have enough?
There are so many different shortages that we found. We never anticipated toilet paper shortages and hand sanitizer shortages and now potential dry ice shortages. So, again, whoever makes that, crank it out.
And again, I'm not the whole expert, but if you've been around any kind of folks, hearing them talk about the vaccines, I mean, from what I've heard, even yesterday, and we know it started in the UK a couple of days ago. People started, right? A 90-year-old woman took the first shot.
Mm.
But they're talking about how you have to have it in two installments.
Okay.
And the other talk is that, and it'll last you for 3 months. And so, like, well, hold it.
Seems like you need a lot of it, then.
I know it. And even, I appreciate the visioneering of President-elect Biden saying, 100 million vaccinations in 100 days, but that seems like a tall order.
That's a lot.
My wife and I were trying to figure out, is that doable?